Hi, good, Amy. I got you.
Hello. Yeah.
Oh,
Sorry, I had
terrific.
my sound off.
Okay, I don't know about anybody else. Everybody's probably so fed up of me that they're probably just not turning up. Jody can't make it. Her father's ill. Dina, I don't know. I could call up Amy on her telephone and find out. And Alina can call on her telephone. Let's just see if anybody else is around. She might Anshay Keshe. So let's go to Dina. One minute. Oh, you sent me some messages today, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, what do you want? Sorry, I never saw them.
That's okay. You can read them and let me know.
Right. Okay. Okay, let's call Alina first. Alina. Where is it? Alina. Alina. Okay, let me just call her. See if we can get a few people together. Oh, hi, sweetie. It's Yedida here. Hi, sweetie. It's Yedida here. I'm going to try and give the shiur today, if at all possible. So I don't know if you've probably given up on me by now, but never mind. Never give up. All right. And if not, I'll record it for you, sweetheart. All right. Bye. Okay. That's Lena didn't answer, so she's probably not around. Let me try just one more. Let's try Dina. Dina. Donk, 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 Dina. Dina. Because she says, she, I mean, according to her, she's online, but I mean, people sometimes are online without being online, if you know what I mean. Six, seven, eight. I'm not sure if that's the right number for her. That's sake. Oh, here we go. Let's try this one. 050429. 4333. Right, let's try that. Hi, Dina. Hi, it's your Dina. Yeah. I know, it's been a really hectic time, ups and downs like crazy. Thank you. Do you want it is time for the class now. I'm going to try and give it if you want to go online. I don't know what your schedule is or where you are. Brilliant. Okay, super. All right, see you in a moment. Okay, bye. Okay, so we've got Dina joining us, which is really nice.
Good.
Oh, and Alina just seems to have switched on to something. So let's join Alina in. Add people. Add to call. Let's see. Okay, in the meantime, I'm just going to fetch up my Kinyan Torah. I'm sorry, I'm so like disorganized. Everybody just has to forgive me. I'm so sorry. It's just been such a pain, this whole thing. And it still is. It's not like it's
Are you
over.
feeling better today?
I don't know. Yes and no. Now, where were we? That's also the question. I don't even know where we were.
I'm going to mute myself unless I need to speak.
Do you have any recollection of where we got up to?
I'm not sure
Neither am
because
I.
I don't have the
Okay.
original tip.
I think we did this bit. Okay, I think we're starting Ubahata Bahaim. Oh, everybody else has disappeared again. Okay, let me try and call Dino again. Okay, and Alina. Right. So, let's get rid of all of this and let's go to good, it's recording, so that's good. All right, let's get our tefillah to start off with. All right. Okay. Well, we'll start with the tefillah and just hope that everybody else who can join in. Ribono olamim v'adonai adonim, av rachaman v'slichot, modim anachnu lefanecha Adonai Eloheinu v'le'avoteinu, v'kidah b'shtachavaya, shekeravtonu l'toratcha ulevadatcha avodat hakodesh, v'natata lanu chelek b'sodot toratecha kedusha, מה אנו ומה חיינו, אשר עשית עמנו חסד גדול כזה. על כן, אנחנו... רגע. אוקיי. הלו? Yeah, I just did it, so I realized, so I'll just join you in. Okay, bye. Okay, it was Daniel. So how do I do that now? Add.
Shalom.
Have to start the prayer again in a moment.
Shalom.
Oh, hi, is that Daniel Yehuda?
Yes, who is that?
It's Yedida Cohen. Your mum just sent me this request.
Oh, what request?
A contact request. Because she
Oh,
wants to
okay.
join online with me. Is she there?
No, that's dad. I mean, I'm not next to my mother. She's in America. I'm in the middle of a hike in the middle of the Upper Galilee in Israel.
I have no idea why she sent me that one then.
It's Dina Jehuda,
I
not Daniel Jehuda.
know. She sent me a contact request, Daniel Yehuda, just now.
That's interesting. I have no
I
idea.
think
I'm
she
so
got a bit
sorry.
muddled up. She wants to send me the one from her mother.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I have no idea.
Okay, all right.
I'm in the middle of nowhere right now.
Okay, all right, not to worry. All right.
You have a great day.
Thank you,
Get
sorry.
back.
Okay, bye. Amy, hold on a second. I'll just call Dina back and tell her there was a problem.
I'm good. I'm here. I'm on mute.
Huh?
I said I'm good. I'm here and I'm on mute.
Dina? Dina? Yeah, you sent me Daniel's contact request, and he's apparently on a hike in the middle of the Galilee somewhere. Oh. I can call you on Dina. Have you got Dina the Yehuda there? And Daniel answered, yeah. Try. All right, sweetie. Okay. Not to worry. Bye. Okay. Sorry, Amy. Let's start the tefillah again. ריבון העולמים ואדוני אדונים, אב רחמן וסליחות, מודים אנחנו לפניך, אדוני אלוהינו ולאבותינו, בקידה בשתחוויה, שקרבתנו לתורתך ולעבודתך עבודת הקודש, ונתת לנו חלק בסודות תורתך הקדושה, מה אנו ומה חיינו, אשר עשיתי עמנו חסד גדול כזה. על כן, אנחנו מפילים תחנוננו לפניך, שתמחור ותסלח לכל חטאותינו ועוונותינו. ואלו עוונותינו מבדילים בינינו לבין מבדילים בינינו לביניך. וכן יהי רצון מלפניך, אדוני אלוהינו ולאבותינו, שתכונן את לבבינו ליראתך ולאהבתך. ותקשיב אוזניך לדברינו אלה, תפתח לבבינו הראל בסודות תורתך, ולימדנו זה נחת רוח, לפני כיסא כבודך כרך ניחוח. תציל עלינו אור מקור נשמתנו בכל בחינתנו. שיתנוצצו ניצוצות עבדיך הקדושים, אשר על ידם גילית דבריך אלה בעולם, וזכותם וזכות אבותם, וזכות תורתם ותמימותם וקדושתם, יעמוד לנו לבל ניכשל בדברים אלו. ובזכותם תהיה עינינו במה שאנו לומדים, כמו מענעים זמירות ישראל, גל עיני ואבית הנפלאות מתורתך, כי אדוני תהיה חכמה מפיו דת ותבונה. יהיו לרצון עמי פי, והגיעו ליבי לפניך, אדוני צורי וגורלי. אמן, כן יהיו רצון. אוקיי. נאומן. I'm on page, let me tell you what page I'm on. Twenty-one in the Hebrew, and it's and choose life. Okay, now you asked me a few times last time about the changes in translation. I can't manage two texts open at the same time, and so I just. When I'm translating now, I'm just freely translating. And in English, there's many, many words which are very similar to each other. And I might choose a different word this time than what I chose the first time. And also, the English text that I sent you is not an edited text. It's just really a draft. And I would like to, at one point, you know, go over it and make it into a proper book, but that would take a lot of editing, which I haven't been, you know, well enough to do for a long time. So, you know, then when I go over and edit it, then I'm really, really careful about which particular word I'm using, and does it really reflect the Hebrew? It's a lot of work to do that. So anyhow, in the meantime, don't be, you know, too alarmed if what I'm saying in the Hebrew, in the English, is not precisely what you've got written in front of you. Now, I'm pretty sure that where we got up to is we got up to where it says, and choose life. Okay? So that's where we're going to start. And we're starting with the introduction to the Talmud Esef Svirot, Haktamah Talmud Esef Svirot. And it says, Uva'amur tavin et divrei chazal ala katuv ubacharta b'chaim hanal. Ayin sham bepeivush rashi, zichrono livracha. Vezel shono. Ani moreh lechem שתבחרו בחלק החיים, כאדם אומר לבנו, בחר לך חלק יפה בנחלתי. הוא מעמידו על החלק היפה, ואומר לו, את זה ברור לך. ועל זה נאמר, השם מנת חלקי, בכוסי, אתה תומך גורלי. ספר תהילים. הנחתי ידי על הגורל הטוב, לומר, את זה קח לך. And from what we've said, you can understand the words of the sages and what is written, and you should choose life. And look there well in the Rashi. And this is Rashi's words. I'm teaching you that you should choose the portion of life, like a man who says to his son, choose for yourself the best portion in my inheritance. But then he stands him over the best portion and tells him, choose this. And on this is said, God is the portion, is my portion and my cup. You support my lot. You've placed my hand on the best lot to say, take this. You take this. Dvarim Yud Aleph. Re'ei Anochi noten lifnechem hayom bracha uklala et ha-bracha asher tishmeu el mitzvot Hashem Elokechem asher anochi metzave etchem hayom v'aklala im lo tishmeu el mitzvot Hashem Elokechem v'sartem min haderech asher anochi metzave etchem hayom ללכת אחרי אלוהים אחרים אשר לא ידעתם. See, I'm giving before you this day the blessing and the curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commands of the Lord your God, which I'm commanding you this day, and the curse is if you don't listen to the commands of the Lord your God, and you turn aside from the way which I'm commanding you this day to go after false gods, which you have not known. Now, I think this is something worth all of us to look at, because, you know, Elohim Acharim, other gods, in previous times, you know, if you go to the Israel Museum, for example, you can wander around and you can see examples of Baal worship and Ashtati worship and that kind of stuff. And you can see how very developed, in fact, it was. I mean, when Elijah the prophet, you know, was thundering against the prophets of Baal, you can actually see how rich and sophisticated this idol worship really was in those days. But of course, we've got similar problems with our idols now. Elohim Acharim is anything that we place instead of God. So it's talking to us now. It's not talking to the children of Israel in the time of you know, Joshua or something, or the prophets or something, is talking to us now. And it's for each one of us to have a look in our lives and see which is the Elohim Acherim, which we're worshipping. And it could be money, it could be money's a big one now, because for many people money is a problem. It's very hard for us, for many people now, to, you know, get it together and to survive in this modern world. Expectations are much higher than they used to be, and the world is much more crowded than it used to be, and the demands on everybody is much, much, much more than it used to be. Money is a huge problem for many, many, many people. So there can be, that could be a Elohim Acherim. One's own pride, one's own ego could be Elohim Acherim also. You know, that you put yourself first and God second. That's a very subtle one. It's quite a difficult one to deal with also. There's anything really. Politics has become a huge Elohim Acherim. I mean, the endless discussions about Trump, it's just like unbelievable. So politics has become another Elohim Acherim. Yes, we do need to know what's going on, I suppose, to some extent. But we don't need to go into every single detail of every single person who is on anything. Ah, look, it looks like Mia has just come online. So let's add Mia in. Why won't she add in? Ah, no. There you go. So any sort of idol worship is what's talked about here. Okay, look, it looks like I'm getting Mia. That's great.
Yadida, I have to meet with a client in 3 minutes. Because I'm getting ready to go on a trip, but I'm so glad to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's been too long, and I'm so apologetic for everybody. I'm sure everybody's sort of like practically given up on me.
No.
I'm so sorry. It's been so hard.
Yes.
It's really been hard. But it's Hashem, you know, but it's Rada Hashem, God's going to help me get through. And it is good to be back teaching. So.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. This is only going to take about 15 minutes, so I can come back if you're having a meeting.
Sure. Okay. Come back.
All right. Be back. Okay. Bye bye.
Bye, sweet. Okay, so Amy.
Yes.
All right, so anything you want to add to that?
Well, I think this is a very interesting introduction to the, it says the introduction to the study of the 10 Sefirot. And it launches into discussion on choosing life and blessing and curses and and I'm guessing that down the road it'll explain how this fits in, but is it saying that by choosing to study the 10 Sefirot, we're choosing life and blessing?
That is such an interesting question. Rabbi Ashlag's whole introduction here, on first sight, doesn't seem to have much connection with the content of the book that the Talmud Esser Sfirot, the study of the Ten Sfirot. The study of the Ten Sfirot deals with the work of the Ari,
Did Ashlag write it?
Rabbi Ashlag write the Talmud Esser Sfirot? Yes.
Okay.
It's one of his main works. It deals with the work of the Ari. It's a commentary on all the main writings of the Ari, in which he organizes them into a sensible order, starting from the Ein Sof down to this world. And it's the dynamics of the Sfirot with the light and vessel. It's extremely technical work, very hard indeed. There's a shortened version of it called the Peticha L'Chochmat HaKabbalah, which is a book that I teach. And I can teach a few parts of the Talmud Esser Sfirot, but not most of it. I haven't learned most of it. It's an extremely difficult work. Now, at first sight, this introduction doesn't seem to have much to do with the book itself. What this introduction is about is, in fact, the reason why we learn Torah and what the Torah really is. And this introduction hardly mentions the Sfirot at all, if it mentions them at all. It's hardly going to mention them. It's kind of interesting. I think what Rabbi Ashlag, when he wrote his introductions, he didn't write them as like a précis of what the content is going to be. He wrote them to help a person define for himself the purpose of his study. Now, the purpose of studying the Talmud Esser Sfirot is actually the same purpose as studying any Torah. And that's why I really like this introduction. Because, especially if we're in Sfat, we're in a Torah environment. We're in a place where there's an enormous amount of Torah being taught, an enormous amount of Shiurim going on. And yet, why are we learning it? And what is the real essence of the Torah all about? And by learning this introduction, we're actually going to learn why we learn Torah. What is the Torah? What is the way of Torah? What is its purpose? What is its destination? This whole introduction is about the Torah. And he doesn't really distinguish between any particular book of Torah, Rabbi Ashlag. He's basically just teaching about what the Torah really is. So, yeah, I mean, your question is a very valid question indeed. It took me a long time to think about that one. You know, why is he starting off with something which doesn't seem at first glance to have much to do with the subject? But in fact, when you think about it, it's got everything to do with it. Okay?
Yes.
Great. Okay, so here he's saying, you know, I'm teaching you Torah. Even though it might be hard for you, this is the good portion. Okay? And don't worship other idols. Don't go off in these false directions, which are so tempting for us, especially in the modern day. And then there's this beautiful midrash in Sifrei. Re'ei, anochi noten lifneichem hayom bracha uklala, lefi she'ne'emar, hachayim v'amavet natati lefanecha habracha v'aklala. Shema Yomu Yisrael, Ho'il v'natan HaKadosh Baruch Hu lefaneinu shnei drachim, derech hachayim v'derech hamavet. Nelech ba'eze mehem shenirtze, Talmud lomar, uv'achart b'chayim, leman tichye ata v'zarecha. Mashal le'echad sheyoshev b'parshat drachim, v'ayu lefanav shnei shvilim. אחד שתחילתו מישור וסופו קוצים, ואחד שתחילתו קוצים וסופו מישור. והיום מודיע את העוברים ואת השבים ואומר להם, שאתם רואים את שביל זה, שתחילתו מישור בשתיים שלוש פסיעות, אתה מהלך במישור וסופו לצאת בקוצים. ואתם רואים שביל זה, שתחילתו קוצים בשתיים ושלוש פסיעות, אתה מהלך בקוצים וסופו לצאת במישור. כך אמר למשה לישראל, אתם רואים את רשעים שהם מצליחים בשנים ושלוש ימים, הם מצליחים בעולם הזה. וסופו לדחות לאחרונה, שנאמר, כי לא תהיה אחרית לרע נר רשעים ידח. סורי, לא תהיה אחרית לרע נר רשעים ידח. ואומר, והנה דמעת העשוקים ואין להם מנחם. ואומר, הכסיל חובק את ידיו ואוכל את בשרו. ואומר, דרך רשעים באפלה לא ידעו במה יקשלו. והם רואים את הצדיקים, כשהם מצטערים בעולם הזה, בשנים ושלושה ימים, מצטערים, וסופן לסמוך באחרונה. שנאמר, אמר, קהילה מן במדבר, אשר לא ידעון אבותיך, למען עונותך ולמען נסותך, להיטיבך באחריתך. ואומר, טוב אחרית דבר מראשיתו, טוב ערך רוח מגבר רוח. ואומר, כי אנוכי ידעת את המחשבות, אשר אנוכי חושב עליכם נום השם, מחשבות שלום ולא לרעה, לתת להם אחרית ותקווה. ואומר, אור זרוע לצדיק, ולישוע לב שמחה, ואורך צדיקים כאור נוגע, הולך ואור עד נכון היום. One of my favorite pieces. So this is from the Midrash, Sifrei. See, I'm placing before you today a blessing and a curse. According to what we said, I'm placing before you this day life or death. Now, life and death in the language of the Kabbalah isn't just physical life or physical death. It's connection with God, okay? Connection with the source of all life is called life. Death is when we're separated from him. Now, it's being separated from God is something that happens to us all the time. When we're worried, when we're sad, this is also separation from God. Because God is happy to give to us. And being sad is actually a sort of saying to God, you know, God, the way you run the world isn't a very good way. And not having faith in God is also a problem. And that makes us unhappy, and it makes us sad and not joyful. And that's also separation from God. So Chaim actually means being alive, being connected with God. And Mavet is being separated from him, being miserable, being unhappy, being frightened. And all these things happen to us all the time. And this is why we say every day, M'chaye meitim b'rachamim rabim, that God revives us every day. God revives the dead every day with great mercy. Because he does. You know, we all fall down all the time. I'm falling down every 5 minutes with what's going on. And every moment when I can come back is like a revival of the dead. So Chaim is connecting with God, believing in God, believing that everything that happens to us is through God's love and loving kindness, through his incredible hashkacha. And Mavet is the opposite. So Chaim is also the mitzvahs that we do, especially when we try and do them with the right intentions, you know, trying to do them for lishma. And Mavet is also, you know, the avirot that we do when we become separated from God. And again, why is Daniel Yehuda calling? I don't know. Amy, if I answer that one,
yeah,
then I'll lose you.
No.
I better not do that. I'm going to decline that for the minute, and I'll just see.
Am I the only one on the call?
Huh?
Am I the only one on the call?
At the moment, yes.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I've been having a real crisis because about a week or two ago, maybe 2 weeks, I don't know, sometime, excuse me, I listened to a presentation by an army guy, and he said that there were 200,000 rockets pointed at Israel at any given moment.
That's probably true, yes.
Now, when I came here, I knew that there was danger, but I felt like maybe the danger was over there. It's like in Jerusalem, maybe it was in Tel Aviv, and I felt that Tzfat was such a safe city and that I should feel very safe here.
Right.
But with him telling me that, that sort of threw me into a panic. And then
I don't blame you.
Then the other, this past weekend, we had, I went to a Shabbaton in Accra, and they had a, the keynote speaker was the developer of the Iron Dome.
Was
and I had been told.
The Iron Dome. Right. Okay.
So I have been told by people here that the Iron Dome was here in Tzfat.
Yeah, it is.
I asked him point blank, is there an Iron Dome here in Tzfat? And he said, not only that it's this thing they throw on the back of the truck and then they need it here, they put it here. If they need it there, they put it there. But it's not a fixture like the Patriot missile is a fixture.
Yeah.
And that made me even more nervous.
Yeah.
And then he went on to talk about drones and how they have no protection system developed like the IMAs against rockets. They have nothing to protect us against drones. And so all of this is making me very kind of nervous and panicky, and it's like a low boil panic. It's like I haven't called up and made my reservation to fly out of here. Mm-hmm. But I mean, even in the meantime, I extended my visa to September 1st, which was my original to stay in Tzfat until September 1st. So it's sort of a commitment I've made to myself and everybody else, you know, to my landlord. But
okay.
I wanted to ask you about what you're seeming to say to me is that by by being panicked and worried and of this 200,000 rockets pointed at me, not me personally, but I realize there's no real safe place in Israel anywhere. And maybe there's no real safe place in the world. I asked my rabbi in Montana, I said, about this issue, and he said, how many rockets do you think are pointed at you in Florida?
Anywhere. That's probably true, except you know, they don't talk about it.
They don't.
Okay, so this is a very, very, very important existential question that we all need to deal with. Okay, Mia's just joined the class, so do you mind if we talk about it in front of Mia?
Oh, please.
Okay, thank you.
If it's okay with me.
Amy just asked a very important question for people who live here in Israel. And the question is that she's just learned that in Israel, we've got 200,000 rockets from Hezbollah pointing at us, apart from the nuclear threats from Iran and every other threat you can imagine. That's enough to be going on with. And also the defense systems in Tzfat are not really up to that much, quite frankly. So she asked, she's feeling, Amy is staying here for the year in Israel, and she's feeling quite panicky about it, and I don't blame her for one moment.
Does it ever panic you?
Yes, to be quite honest, it does.
I feel better.
I think it panics everybody at different times, at different moments. But I think what we need to look at is at Am Yisrael as a whole. Am Yisrael as a whole is the most amazing people on the planet. How many people leave Israel because of rockets? Very, very few. Most people who go on Yeridah, who leave Israel, go for economic reasons because they're finding it very difficult to manage financially. But very few people leave because of the security situation, which is interesting. It means that Am Yisrael in general have an incredible amount of faith. When the last war broke out, where Katushas landed on Tzfat, we live very close to the Pikud HaTzafon. We live very close to the army headquarters here, and I had kids in the house, and so we moved to Hoshaya, where I had friends, where it wasn't so safe, but it wasn't so dangerous either. In fact, the house was not hit at all. The house was sort of, somehow God protected all the houses in the street. I think, and Tzfat did have a lot of Katusha's land, but I think there was one person was killed. We had actually less casualties in Tzfat than they had anywhere else. People stayed in Tzfat, and they were studying Kabbalah, they were studying Torah, and they didn't leave Tzfat. Some left, not every, a lot of people left Tzfat, but not everybody left. And Tzfat actually had less casualties, although it had most Katushas landed, less actual casualties happened here than anywhere else. So what can I tell you? We are divinely protected.
A rocket landed right, my apartment was built in 2013, but a rocket landed right on the very spot where my apartment is now. And I can see the shrapnel on my neighbor's wall.
Right.
From the landing.
Right.
Heard it was 700 rockets landed in around Svat.
Yeah.
Maybe that's right or wrong. I don't know.
When
I talk to people locally, they say, well, you have to believe in Hashem, that Hashem will cover us, that will, Hashem will save us. So that's okay. I wish I could be that strong, but I have to look back on history, and I look back at the Inquisition, and I look back at the Holocaust, and I look back at, you know, all of the times, the Crusades where we were murdered. And I look back at all the times that we were not, that we faced hardships, we faced death, even though we believed in Hashem. There were many people in the Holocaust who had firm belief in God, who died in the ovens. And so that makes me, that further contribute to my panic. But just picking up on something you said, very interestingly, in Morocco, and I could be wrong, but I think I heard this story, that Morocco was not harmed pretty much at all, mm-hmm. because the Moroccan Jews, I mean, because they study Kabbalah every day.
Yeah, they do.
They never stopped, and many people felt that alone was something that protected them from harm during World War II.
Yes, I think that's true. That why does the Kabbalah protect us? It's because it's not a mystical thing. It's because it makes us more conscious of God and His presence, and it helps us believe in God. And that's the reason why it protects. It's not a mystical, something to do with magic or anything like that. It's not that sort of thing at all. It's because all the essence, as we're going to learn in this introduction, the essence of the Torah is the same in all aspects. So that, in other words, the essence of the Torah in the Tanakh, in the Torah, in the Nevi'im, in the Ketuvim, in the commentaries, in the discussions in the Talmud, in the Midrash, in the Kabbalah, it's the same essence. What's different is the clothing, the different garments in which it's garbed. So the language of the Tanakh and the language of the Kabbalah is different. And in fact, in many ways, the language of the Kabbalah is, although at first sight it seems to be more complicated, in actual fact, it's easier for us to grasp God's presence and God's light through the Kabbalah than it is through the Tanakh, through the Torah. And in fact, even Rabbi Eliyahu of Vilna, who was not a Hasid at all, he was the opposite. He was the leader of the Misnagdim, but he was a great Kabbalist. He said that the Pshat, which is the Tanakh, is the most Mufshat, is the most abstract, and the Kabbalah, in fact, is the easiest for us to grasp the presence of God in, which is why we learn Kabbalah. And that's why learning the Zohar, learning the Kabbalah, brings us the faith that we need, which is what actually turns the rockets away. Now, I'll give you a story from a lady who was in shul not long after these rocket thingamajigs. And she is the auntie. She lives actually in Herzliya or somewhere, and she's an auntie of a captain on the Iron Dome. And she told me what happened with her nephew. Now, the Iron Dome was situated so that it was protecting the coastal area very strongly. Her nephew was the captain, and one Thursday, which is, you know, peak shopping day, a missile was aimed at Tel Aviv, and it was heading for the Azrieli Tower. It was a huge shopping center, right in the heart of Tel Aviv. And he pressed the button once, and it misfired. And he pressed the button again, and it missed the missile. And he pressed it a third time, and it missed. And there was this bloody thing heading for Tel Aviv, and there was nothing that he could do about it. And then, out of nowhere, suddenly, on the camera, I mean, he was watching absolutely horrified, and he said, Shema Israel or something, and out of nowhere, he was not religious, he was not religious at all, out of nowhere, an east wind suddenly blew up and shifted this thing the few degrees, and it landed in the sea.
It's interesting you would bring that up, because the rocket scientist, as I said, at the Shabbaton, who brought up this same story. And his comment, he asked people in the room believed it, and he said generally 90% of the population believes that story. I did not believe it. And he said for that to have happened, the wind would have had to have been about 2,000 miles an hour. A 2,000-mile-an-hour wind would have flattened everything, the city, entirely. So it is not a scientific plausible story, and not a true story.
Well,
so it's interesting that you brought that up, because he also, he being the inventor or the developer of the Iron Dome, knew the same story.
Well, you know, there's logic and there's faith. Now, this is the auntie of the captain, and this is what he saw.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, there's lots of stories like this. My son was in Oferet Yitzhuka in the operation in Gaza, not this last one, the one before. He was in Golani. It was a very, very, very hard time for me. And the way through it was simply to believe that God was looking after him and caring for him, and that he was surrounded by angels. And that I listened to a shiur given by Rav Boch Melamed, Zalman Melamed, sorry. And in 5 minutes, it got me straight. And he said that when a person goes into battle, and actually we are all on the battle line, as he pointed out, when a person goes into battle, he has to believe that God's angels are surrounding him, and he has to have total trust that God's angels are protecting him. And now Rabbi Gershon amended this to say that when your son or your husband has gone into, your dear ones are in battle, you have to believe that for them also. So now it's not just a personal thing that you believe it for yourself personally, you have to believe that for your son or your husband. So during this time of Oferet Yitzhuka, I refused any single word of fear or worry about my son to be said in the house by anybody. And I spent the time clearing up the garden and clearing out the sun. And when my son came home, he said, "Oh, Mum, that's nice." He said, "I was clearing up Azza and you were clearing up the garden. Well done." And the other thing he said was, he said, "I felt that the clouds of glory were surrounding me." And people in his, little brigade, whatever you call it, I don't know, Pluga, in fact, had been injured, but he was not injured, and he was safe, and he was fine. And thank God, I don't think that the injuries that the others had were too serious. He had a shoulder injury, my son, from carrying the heavy stuff, and his shoulder is still not better. Well, it slowly got better. But you absolutely just have to believe that the angels of the Lord are surrounding us. And they are more potent than any of these wretched missile things.
For a long time, I've taken a lot of strength and courage. It takes a lot of strength and courage to get up and leave your country and come and live in a strange country and
sure,
with strange language and habits, without my husband, without my children. I had the belief that I will not live 1 minute longer than God wants me to. And that firm belief has gotten me through.
Right.
But the reality of having 200,000 rockets pointed at me, there's beginning to be a crack between belief and reality. I can still believe that I will not live 1 minute longer, but there's a reality out there that's I'm trying to reconcile belief and reality.
It isn't easy, Amy. It really, really, really isn't easy. I mean, it really isn't easy. I don't think anybody really finds it easy. I think that you do need to separate this piece of history that we're in now from the Holocaust. The Holocaust ended a certain period. We are not in that generation any longer. We are in the generation of Mashiach. We are in the generation of redemption. And Areinu Niflaot. I mean, the truth of the matter is that we've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. Living in Israel is one long miracle. I mean, the Six-Day War, I remember as a child being in England, and everybody was saying, that's the end of Israel. And it was not the end of Israel, it was the complete opposite. Even the Yom Kippur War, which was, people were very upset about and took it as a failure and stuff like that. It was actually one of the greatest military triumphs. There was a failure of information at the beginning, yes, but subsequently it was actually one of the greatest triumphs. The problem with the Hezbollah and Iran has not actually been Hezbollah and Iran to a large extent. The problem has been America, because America won't let us finish the wars. When we go to war, before you can get, you know, before you can do Hajj Daim Shalosh, Obama has been on the blower, you know, and if you don't, and he's threatened, you know, Israel with all sorts of threats, if you don't stop the war right now. And that's what stops us winning. It's not that we can't win. It's not that we can't defeat Hezbollah. We can defeat Hezbollah. What has been the problem up till now has been that America's never let us defeat the enemy. And this has been a huge problem. And it's a huge problem to this day. Now, I'm not saying that Trump is our savior. I don't believe in, this is again, you know, that would bring us back to Elohim Acherim. Trump is just a shaliach of God, just like Obama was a shaliach of God. Everybody is just a shaliach of God. God is acting through people. There is nothing else which is acting in the world except God. There is no other force in the world except God. And, you know, if God wants to blow up the whole of the Hezbollah dump of their 200,000 rockets there and there in wherever it is, in Lebanon or Syria or somewhere, he'll do it. Areinu nifla'ot, we will see miracles. And we do see miracles. We see miracle after miracle here.
The army guy, the army, back to the army lecture, he made the point that 50% of the homes in these Arab areas, either be Lebanon or whatever, have missiles stored there. So it's not like conventional war where you can go and blow something up. If you do, you're blowing up 30% of the homes in a city or in a village. And that gets very sticky.
That's why they put them there. They're not stupid. I know.
No, but that's why we can't go in and just blow them up. Mia, did you have something that you wanted? You were starting to say something. I'm sorry. She's still on?
I don't know. Mia,
There was a third person on, wasn't there?
Mia was on.
Uh-huh. Did she get off?
Don't think so. She's still here. Maybe Mia can't talk for some reason. Mia, sweetie?
Sorry, I had myself on mute.
Okay, right. Amy asked, there was something maybe you wanted to say.
Well, naturally, I am not having the same experience physically. I'm not physically located where you guys are. So this conversation, you know, I can't experience it exactly. But what I can say is that some challenges that I've had lately, family-oriented challenges, I did exactly what you said, Yadida. I did exactly what you said. I start out by saying, Hashem, I don't have the maturity, the strength, the positivity, a list of few qualities, enough of it to deal with this. I need yours. Mm. I start there, and then I do that angel thing. And I have always felt, well, for many years, I got I had help. And for many years, I have done that. I have pictured it. I have known that it is my job to picture it, say, for someone's travel in an airplane, in a vehicle, for someone's on their sick bed, for someone in this case, this week, my 16-year-old granddaughter who has decided to choose a different gender. Okay, so irrespective of the particular issue, whether it's us, whether it's somebody else, wherever they are physically, that angel thing is so awesome because we know we can't fix it. We know this personally. We can't fix our children in harm's way. We can't fix ourselves in harm's way, possibly. But we know who can. And the sense in my spirit, because actually, I don't really, I don't ask for it. I assert it. And usually I say thank you. Thank you. I thank Hashem that it's already done. And I realize that's what he wants to hear from me.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what Rabbi Nachman says. That's exactly it, Mia. You got it totally.
I'll tell you what, not the situation you guys are in. Trust me, Amy. I am not saying it's the same, but I am saying that this part is the same. Oh, you guys, somebody's knocking at my door. I'll be right back.
Okay. You know what? Those words from Mia were priceless.
Okay. Where is Mia located? Do you know?
What love?
Where is Mia located?
She's located in
where
Texas.
Where is Mia located?
She's located in some rural area in Texas.
Okay, sorry. Yes, I am in north of Dallas in a little rural area. The name of the town is Whitesboro. It's 4,000 people. And so my husband and his gorgeous redneck sons have all kinds of big trucks, dump trucks, drilling rigs, all kinds of stuff out here in the yard. And that was one of his sons picking up one of them. Okay. So anyway, all I'm saying is the chutzpah that it takes to speak out, and I do it out loud because then I can hear myself. The chutzpah that it takes to speak out loud to dispatch. That's how I think of it. I don't call an individual cabbie. No, that's not the way it works. Well, maybe it does with Uber. I don't know how that works. But anyway, I call dispatch.
Mm-hmm.
And Hashem is dispatcher.
Mm-hmm.
I speak to dispatcher with the confidence that I would order a cab. I expect it is coming.
Wow. Wow, fantastic.
And honestly, I love what you said. You did not allow any words to be spoken that your son would be in any other situation other than covered and cared for and protected. And you know, I don't necessarily have that. Well, let's just put it this way. The environment I have to be concerned about is inside my own head, and not allow the doubt.
Right.
Doubt takes many outfits. Some of them are so logical.
Right.
Those are the ones that are hardest because they're so logical. The other one thing I'm going to say is this. Naturally, you know, kind of coming to my Judaism late and learning many things that people my age have known for forever, I marvel at how some Jews had the intuition to leave Germany, to leave Poland, whatever. They just knew. And why? We'll never really know why some people knew, gotta go now. And other people had didn't think it was a big deal. And other people maybe thought, no one's pushing me out of my homeland. All the various opportunities to have attitudes. And I think we get to try on all those attitudes. So yeah. I can try on the attitude of this, 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 and this in a particular situation so that I, you know, I give myself permission to have it. And then I just go to the heavenly host and I say, okay, you take care of it because I'm just human. And my attitude is that I need Hashem to take care of this and his heavenly host.
Brilliant. That's exactly what I needed to hear as well for me. Perfect.
Oh, perfect, praise God.
Perfect, perfect.
And I hope you can hear, because to tell you the truth, I wasn't always like this, but you know what has gotten me to be like this, like every day, and I don't mean I never worry, but I can slap myself and go, hello, what were you put on this earth to do? Be like this. And I'm going through it with my daughter now, who has many, many things oppressing her. And my confidence is my gift to the world.
Right. It is.
And if I had a confident expectation that I need to go, I'd go. That wouldn't be fear. That wouldn't be doubt. That would be, that is the particular instruction for that day.
Right.
So I don't think you can stand back and make a political, well, from my perspective here, by the way. By the way, I don't go to synagogue anymore. You guys are going to enjoy this because they don't believe in security. No, you know what we have up here? A whole bunch of rednecks who conceal carry their pistols in their purses and their pockets, and they think that's security. And I said, you know what? You people are, what are you going to do? Just start shooting? I won't go because I tried to set up security. I tried to have an actual officer patrolling the perimeter. They wouldn't let me hire him. So in my own funky little place, in my own funky little way, you know, I am dealing with security issues. I mean, we already had one hate crime destroy the whole thing. So in case you got it, Amy didn't know that, but Yadida, in case you forgot. So we've already had one hate crime. What does it take for people to wake up and go, yes, we actually do need security?
You know, you've got to take reasonable care. You absolutely have to take reasonable care. And
so people who've grown up with a confident expect, this is what's important. People who have grown up, Jews, who have grown up with a confident expectation that everything will be fine. This is a safe country. See, exactly the opposite of what you guys are dealing with. This is a safe country. We don't need security. We're not going to live in fear. We're not going to send a fear message. My head is in my hands going, what is wrong with you people?
Absolutely.
Okay, so remember, you can get stuck at one end of the continuum or the other and forget that it's about Hashem and the heavenly host and not the pistol in your pocket.
Absolutely.
Can you tell me what the incident was?
I'll tell you what, I'll send you a link, but we had two drunk guys broke in and completely trashed, stole the Torah, put it in the sanitary landfill. It was a Torah rescued from the Holocaust, and they defecated on the prayer books.
Oh, God.
Yes. Oh, God is right. I live at a place, Amy, that is a confluence of tremendous ignorance. They know nothing about Jews, nothing. And a lot of people get drunk a lot, which is a very bad combination.
How long ago was that?
2010 or 11.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
So yeah, anyway,
let's go back to a little bit of Torah so that we finish on a positive note.
Yes.
Okay, because that was such a horrible, horrible thing.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to just translate this piece of Midrash. See, I place before you this day blessing and curse. According to what is said, I put life and death before you, blessing and curse. Lest Israel should say, since the Holy Blessed One has put before us two ways, the way of life or the way of death, let's go on whichever one we want. That is to say, choose life in order that you and your seed shall live. It's like a parable, right? One who's sitting at a crossroads and he's got two paths before him. One which starts off straight, but in the end smooth, and the end ends up with thorns. Another which starts off thorny and is in the end straight. And he's telling the passerbys, and he's saying to them, do you see this path? Well, it starts off smooth for the first two or three steps, and you go along quite smooth, but in the end, you're going to come out in thorns. And you see this path? Well, it starts off thorny, but you go along two or three steps, and as you go along in the thorns, in the end, you come out in the smooth. And this is exactly the same as what Moses says to Israel. Do you see the wicked? They succeed for the first two, 3 days. They succeed in this world. But in the end, they're going to be pushed aside. As it says, for there will be no latter end for the wicked, and the candle of the wicked will fade, go down, diminish. And it also, that's in Proverbs. And it also says, and behold, the tear of the oppressed, they have none to comfort them. And it also says in Ecclesiastes, a fool, just holds his own hands, but then he eats his flesh. Like exactly what you said, Amir, in the example you gave. And it says the way of the wicked is in darkness. They do not know and what they are stumbling. And they see how the tzaddikim have tzoros in this world for the first 2-3 days, and they are sorry, but in their end they will be joyful. As it says, who's given you to eat manna in the wilderness, which your fathers did not know, in order to afflict you and in order to try you, but to do you good in your end. And he says, better is the end of a matter than its beginning. Better is having patience than having pride. And he says, for I've known the thoughts which you are thinking about yourselves, says the Lord of God. Thoughts of peace and not for evil will give you a latter end and hope. As Jeremiah says, light is strewn for the righteous and for those who have honesty, joy. And the path of the righteous is as a shining light which goes and strengthens until the day is dawned. And I think that's the one we need to remember. V'or tzadikim ko'or noga holech v'or al nechon hayom. That for me is such a powerful sentence. The pathway of the righteous is as a shining light which goes and strengthens until the day is dawned. Okay?
Could I just pray so we can all pray together?
Yes.
Hashem, we come before you in our very different locations, but united in our hearts, in our souls, in our study, and in our passionate love for you. We thank you and we praise your holy name for showing us, each one of us, in our individual lives, your method of dispatch to our requests. Thank you for giving us the confidence and courage in this today so we can share it with each other soon. We praise you and thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Mia, thank you with all my heart.
Thank you, Yudita.
Thank you, Mia. I needed to hear that too.
Thank you, my love.
All right, we'll talk soon, and you will be jumping on your trampoline many hours a day until then.
Amen. 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 Bless you. Bless you both.
All right.
All right.
Talk soon.
Yeah. Bye then.
Bye.
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 Okay, Amy?
Yes, thank you. That was helpful, and it's something I'm going to have to learn to deal with.
It's a process, love. Be easy on yourself. It's a process. It must have been quite a shock to have heard all this stuff at a Shabbos. It's not the sort of thing that I would like to hear on a Shabbos, I must say. Be easy on yourself and understand that it's a process. It's not 5 minutes. It's something that we live with and we breathe through, and we have faith. And it's exactly what Mia said, to give thanks to God for his love and his angels all the time. That's the defense. That's the real defense.
I'm very big on angels.
Good for you then.
I'll have to tune up my angel radar.
That's right.
and make sure that they're surrounding me. When I come to see you sometime, I will tell you my story of how angels actually manifest in front of me.
Oh my God! Wonderful.
So, and I don't know if you've had this experience, but I have. And the other thing is that the question I had was, I'm starting to feel better. I'm not coughing up green. I'm a little yellow. I was thinking maybe on Sunday, if you needed me, Sunday to Tuesday, that I could come next, the Sunday that's coming up.
Wonderful. Okay, and I'll be in touch then. I don't quite know yet for me what's happening, but that sounds good.
If you want, you sent me your address.
Okay, so very good.
Do that, otherwise I'll be just wandering around going, yadida.
Okay, that sounds great. Yeah, fine.
All right.
Okay, very good.
Thank you for everything. And I think that I've paid you up until this point.
Yeah, but I feel so bad. I haven't taught so much.
I know. I think you've missed 6 classes.
Is that as many as that? Gosh, okay.
So if you would put in your book, move my payment forward.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Fine. Yeah, I need to go through what I've done, what I haven't done. I keep a record of it all.
Good.
But I've missed so much. It's been awful, Amy.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing 2 classes, so I mean I was paying you for 2 classes, so
yeah, I know
that's
that
why
enough.
It seems like a lot, but
yeah, okay.
But you know, it's up to you.
All right, yeah, sure, sweetheart.
Okay. So and hopefully I'll see you on Sunday.
Lovely.
And we'll think Purim thoughts together.
Okay, good.
Okay. All right, you be well.
Thanks. Bye then.
Bye.